And we're live with a brand new episode of Backpass X Balestier Khalsa. Back after about a 3-week break. Not really a break. We were supposed to go live last week, but the boys had a training session, so they couldn't make it. So we had to have this session here today. So I'm pleased to have with me Mr. Darren Tay. How are you doing, Darren?
Hi, I'm good. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah. Just sensing a bit of nerves from the time you came in. A bit of shyness, a bit of nerves. I hope you can, it's the second time appearing on the show, right?
Yeah, second time. But the other time was by the Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom. So it was less daunting for you.
Not really daunting. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. I hope you enjoy this episode. Anyways, Darren, the last game, right? Yeah, let's start with that. The last game. Quite a roller coaster match. Ups and downs. Just want to know, we were watching in the stands, but just want to know how you felt on the ground, you know, like your emotions. You went through. We didn't play too badly, but we were losing quite heavily at one point, and then we came back into it. A couple of disallowed goals as well. So just speak to us about how you felt on the pitch. Give your emotions of the match.
Yeah. I mean, I think at any part of time, if a game is 5-4, I think at any part of the world, it's going to be exciting, for sure.
For the neutrals.
Even for the neutrals and even for us on the pitch. Like what you mentioned was a roller coaster kind of emotions, where throughout the game, which is, I think we were on the back foot most of the time in terms of score.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we, at certain part of the game, or maybe... good parts of the game, we actually really had control over them as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think during that moment also helped us, calm ourselves down, stabilize a bit. And I think that was something that was good for us. Yeah, but for us to concede 5 goals as well, I think was also something that we look back. Look back with the team as well, and was something that we tried to like correct as well in the training ground this week. Yeah, leading up to our next game.
All right, against that. Going back to that game, again from the crowd, we were watching a couple of goals disallowed. Didn't feel like there was much in it. What do you feel about that? You felt was legitimate that the goals were disallowed, or a bit harsh to be disallowed?
Yeah, I mean, of course, for us, to be on the losing side, I think, of course, we definitely feel a bit harsh in terms of, like, the VAR decisions. I think it could have gone both ways as well. I think even the first goal, there might be a foul on Roya just before the first goal as well. So these are all, points where it's not really for us to debate as well. Yeah, okay. So more for the neutrals. I think for us also at the point of time was just for us to concentrate on game, continue on playing and to actually try to bring back a good result at the point of time. Yeah, but I think at the 70th minute, I think the two goals disallowed, Roya goal and Jumbo goal, was a bit unlucky as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think especially the first goal was definitely a good move. 1-2 with Jumbo and then good finishing. But I guess luck wasn't on our side both for the goal to be disallowed as well.
Correct.
Yeah. But I think I want to give credits also to the boys. I think despite us being down and everything, I think you can see even from the neutrals, we didn't really give up on the game.
Yeah.
We still wanted to go out there, try to get something out of it. And just unlucky that we couldn't get that one more goal, which could lead to a draw. I mean, at least something to also be back home.
Imagine you had scored that one goal, the roof would be lifted
for sure.
Oh man, that was a good game, played well, and Peter was back on the touchline as well. How important was that for the team to have Peter back on the touchline after what he went through as well in personal life?
Yeah, I think Peter brings a very composed figure into this squad. And of course, with a certain amount of belief he had with the team, and I mean he has with the team as well, I think every game having him around with us gives us a lot more of belief as well when we are approaching games. And as well as, you know, helping us to stabilize the entire team, you know, like the structure and everything. Yeah, so it was always good to have him back after what he has, you know, gone through with his family as well.
It was nice to see him as well. You talk about stability. Yourself, you've been ever present this season in the team. So has that stability helped you?
Yeah, I mean, of course, moving on from last season, my first season with Balestier as well, I think I played all the games. I don't think I missed any of the games last season. Something that also I tried to achieve this year, you know, not having any suspensions or even injuries. I think that is one of the goals that I have for myself as well this season. Yeah, but of course, stability also has to come with consistency. And I think I have to work a lot on being consistent for every game. That's something that I personally want to work on as well.
Okay. Yeah. We give you a couple of comments. So Lingesh saying hi Darren, and Lingesh again. Relief the third.
He's our number one fan.
Everyone knows him.
Stadium, bro.
About that goal, it was impressive. It was scored with so much tenacity in my view. Sparked the chain reaction for the team to come back. Thanks for that goal, Darren.
Is he talking about the jumbo goal?
Or
the one that we were talking about? Goal? The Royal Disallowed goal.
Yeah, which goal are you speaking about? Darren had a hand in the first goal because the first equalizer was his free kick. And Daniel Goh says, why are you so handsome, Darren? Would you like to reply to your illustrious teammate?
Yeah, I mean, no one can be as handsome as him right now. He's the man
on fire, hot property right now. Clashing with the goalkeeper as well in the LCS game, trying to get the ball back.
Shows a lot of tenacity in him as well. Yeah.
Linge is saying Darren scored. You did score, right, Darren?
You're probably talking about the first goal.
The first goal was created. Fabian played well. I loved his performance.
He's the truck in our team. We always call him the truck. Because, you know, he has amazing physique, even despite his age. Something that really young players have to, you know, look up to, and something that, you know, young players, you know, who are looking to have the kind of time horizon like what he has. Throughout his career, I think he's one of the perfect role model that we have, not just in the club, but, you know, in the league, the industry itself. Yeah. So, yeah.
How old is he?
I think Fab is 34 this year.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, compared to me, not that old, but yeah. Okay. Okay. So this season, what do you feel you have done well, and what do you feel still needs to be improved in your game?
I think done well. I think. In terms of
compared to last season,
I think this season, I would say, you know, being more used to the way that, you know, Peter wants to play, you know, how he wants his fullback to play, the brand of like attacking football, modern football as well. Yeah, so it's very demanding in terms of like the physically wise. So I think that's something also I work on, you know, at least, you know, trying to be up and down the pitch throughout the 90 minutes itself. It's definitely not easy. You know, age is catching up also.
How old are you?
I'm 27. I mean, compared to like previously, where, you know, like when I was 22, 23, 24, now at 27, like you really can feel like the difference as well. So I think that's something also I look into. And of course, areas to improve, lots of areas to improve. I definitely have a lot more to learn, a lot more to add to my game as well.
Anything off the top of your head that you feel, you know, I think I need to improve on this aspect of my match, of my game?
I think probably one of the things is I have to say it on the maybe like you know, I think the fact that, you know, we are conceding goals and stuff like that, and also primarily as a defender, I think defending has to be something that, you know, I have to work on as well. In my game.
Okay, so Daniel's back again. And he says Darren is my idol, always looked up to him. Very sweet guy.
Yeah, but actually I look up to him.
Okay. Why is that so?
Huh?
Why is that so?
No, no, he's a true professional.
True professional.
Yeah, on and off the pitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, he doesn't have bubble tea like before his game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I get it.
That's his secret lah, his success.
Does he drink protein shakes and all that?
He's a Gatorade ambassador.
Okay.
Yeah, So if Gatorade is watching this or whatsoever, or anyone has links,
up and coming,
also link him out with Gatorade. Yeah.
Up and coming young star, Daniel Go, please get in touch with him. He will love the sponsorship. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Him with Gatorade sponsorship. So you speak a bit about age catching up with you and all. Do you do any extra work outside of the training pitch? To help you maintain some kind of consistency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe I take it back. Like, I wouldn't say age is catching up with me, but I'm not as young as, you know, like
it used to be.
Because everybody aged.
True.
I still feel that, you know, I have a lot to offer in terms of like in the game. A lot to offer. Yeah, so with regards to the question that you asked me, I do like a lot of, I mean not a lot, but I do my own like PTs outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I have my own trainer outside where, you know, I do like one or twice a week.
A week? Okay.
Yeah, just to keep myself in shape.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is in a like a boutique gym or?
It's the gym that belongs to the trainer.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has his own gym, so I usually go there for like gym work or even like more like cardio specific work. Yeah, I keep myself.
Give the gym a shout out.
Yeah, for sure.
And the trainer.
Yeah, the gym is called EPT EPT. So it's at Upper Serangoon. Yeah. So my trainer is Ned. Yeah, Ned. Yeah. So he used to be one of my classmates.
Okay.
Back when I was studying sports diploma.
Yeah,
I thought it was just a tryout, you know, with him and everything, and I like that it's very football specific. Like he can adjust the training programs according to how specific I need it.
Mm.
Yeah, and he also watches like our game and everything, and to like see where I'm lacking at certain areas and everything. So it's something that helped me a lot.
That's very dedicated.
This
one is probably the one opposite the Chinese temple.
It's the stretch of the
shop houses.
Just before Serangoon. Yeah. So it's the one just before the flyover up, you know. The left side is
Correct. Then just down the line we Upper Serangoon shopping.
Yes,
center.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Actually right
right next
that,
to
that area.
Yeah, okay.
So guys can check him out.
I know where that is now. Okay, Lingesh again. I must be honest, Darren. I must admit that I was slightly skeptical you as defender in the squad. But boy, did you prove me wrong with your hard work. You really made me embarrassed with my initial thoughts. You proved me wrong, bro. Keep working hard, and my apologies to you to have formed such an initial impression. So you won over someone,
Always nice to have this kind of comments. I think probably that's what keep us going also.
Yeah, and also on that that note, comments and all, you're probably on social media, Instagram, Facebook.
You mean usually after games?
No, you are on social media. And then do you face, you know, hate messages or bad criticisms? The way you played or anything?
I think so far in Bastion, not yet.
So you've had it before in your previous club?
I think probably like one or two, you know, when you had a bad game and everything. I think it's pretty normal as well. Like, you see the amount of hate, like, you know, really like true professionals, like, you know, maybe like we look at like EPL, or maybe we look even nearer, like to like maybe like the Malaysia Super League or whatever. I think the amount of hate, even in the Indonesia League as well. I think that level of hate is
it's not really a different level kind of hate.
And I think I wouldn't say it's not like I would just take it as a pinch of salt over here.
Yeah,
but of course at a certain part of time, you know, where you like it's not much of a hate.
Mm.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a hate. Maybe there are comments that say like, you know, maybe Derek can do better, or like maybe don't let that number, you know, he would just like shout that number, better, better, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because nowadays in Singapore football, I notice people don't really know the player names.
Yeah, correct.
They, so they I watch think, the game, they see the number, they say, okay, this number, this person should do better, or this person is doing well, but they don't know the names.
Yeah, so I guess for myself also, like facing this kind of comments, I think it's very important for us as well to, in a way, take it with a pinch of salt, but also not neglect it. Because I think they could be really like important kind of feedback.
I would
put it as a feedback that help us improve.
So you would not neglect it at all, right?
I mean, if I see it, I don't really, you know, go and look out for like comments or anything, like after games or anything. Yeah, that's not something that you know I would want to do. Yeah, but if I chance upon or like something like that, like what you mentioned, then take it like a feedback lah. Okay, that's the best way to deal with it.
What's your normal after match routine, though? What do you do after a match?
After a match,
interesting to know from a professional's point of view. Like, what do you normally do?
I mean, after a match, usually I think I'll speak for like most of the colleagues that I have in this industry. I think usually after a game, you know, like the adrenaline rush and everything, the amount of like energy that we put in, you know, like we don't even realize how much we actually put in.
Yeah.
But I guess like after certain games, you'll just be like so shacked up, so zoned out. You know, certain days you just want to like, you know, grab some food. Sometimes not even want to grab food, but you have to force yourself to get food because that's probably like the best recovery that you need. And you can't rely on just supplements or whatever. Or even like 100+, you know, that's not good enough. So on certain days, you really just want to go back. But, you know, it's the kind of level, you know, the energy that you put in, right? You go back, right, you also have, like, problem sleeping as well.
Oh,
Because, like, you are just physically tired. Yeah, but mentally, you're just thinking about the game, you know, the adrenaline, you know, where could you have done better? Or maybe, like, let's say if you have a shit game or whatever, it makes it worse in terms of sleeping at night.
Okay.
Yeah, so, this is just some of the general feedback. To me and also to the colleagues that I have.
Like in your case, when you go back home, usually your wife's there, your kid is there.
Yeah.
Does that help you? Okay, like for example, you had a bad game, you go back home. Does that help you, cheer you up? Or
actually for myself, like usually after game, right, I'll prefer to do more like self-reflection, more than I want to talk to anybody about the game. Yeah, sometimes, you know, like, after game, you know, you will receive a text from some of the friends that you know like that watches the game. They give you like very good feedback, like for example my trainer, so sometimes you'll just message me whether it's a good game or whether it's like some areas to improve. Yeah, but I tend to also like just zone out. Leave it to the next day.
And then
go and look about it. I just prefer to do like a bit more like self-reflection and just catching up on myself,
In that sense, your family knows that, okay, at this point, once he comes back from work, don't disturb him.
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty strict in terms of like my game day routine. I think I don't really like to like, you know, go out before, you know, even like, I just like to be in my own world, in my own zone doing game days.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'll just grab my lunch, everything, go back, really just rest, really just prep myself, and then just do my own things. Maybe that's an excuse to just have like the family time during my game days or so.
I've heard that a lot also about you know, footballers having to do that because they need to get into the zone.
I think it's very important to be mentally ready.
And also very important to have a family that understands as well and supports you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's key. All right, questions. Lots of questions coming in while you speak. Let's scroll up. All right, Everick says, looking sharp on and off the field. Quite a compliment.
Yeah.
Lingesh again, I was really impressed with you on that Tampines game that you were tasked to keep Faris Ramli. Not an easy task, but you actually did well. Lingesh is asking my usual questions. So at this juncture in SPL, who is the toughest, not rival, player you are up against, and are you still with the same boots currently? Okay. Toughest rival.
Toughest, I think he's talking about like opponent, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Player. Toughest, definitely have to give it to Maxim as well. Right now, I think he's a top player.
The last game, right?
Yeah, top player. I mean, not even the last game. I think like, every game, you know, in the league, it shows that, I mean, the amount of money that LCS paid for him, I think he's justifying it as well. Yeah, he's really a top player at his current like form as well. Mm. He's definitely somebody who is very, very difficult to handle as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he can pull off that kind of hairstyle as well, that hair color.
yeah.
We were quite surprised when we walked in the stadium and was looking at
No, I was joking about it as well because against us, we were wearing like red, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he put it into something similar.
Okay.
So maybe the next time he faced like maybe like Gila or Tempest,
yeah,
he's going to look great.
Yellow.
Yeah, but I think it will look good on him as well.
Yeah,
like the way he dances on the field, I think any hairstyle.
Yeah, I can pull it off.
Yeah.
Okay. Lingage again. One question.
Same boots.
Oh, yeah, boots. Yes, that's
the Yeah. I think boots wise, I personally sponsored by Puma.
All right.
Yeah, so you'll see me repping the Puma boots for every game. Yeah, I think I've been with them for about a couple of years as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so you see me with all the
Puma.
Newest Puma models and everything, I hope so. Yeah.
Okay. And on your boots, do you have like initials on the boots or anything?
Oh, no, we don't have initials on our boots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so Lingvish again, one question as a Singaporean son. I always wanted to ask an SPL player, do you guys get call up for reservists during season? And if so, at reservist as an SPL player, is there any pressure for you to like get goal in IPVT and things like what? Like, I don't know, you just left it hanging.
Like get goal? Oh.
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, do you get called up for reservist during season?
Yeah, I think like what you mentioned.
I think we're
all Singaporean.
MLM
is a reservist now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all do get reservist and stuff like that. Yeah, so I guess yeah, it's also quite tricky, like, especially when
reservists. How does that happen then? If you got called, if you get called up for reservist, you can come out for training or you be in camp?
I think it really depends on your own unit's schedule as well. Yeah,
okay.
So I don't know about the other units and whatsoever.
Mm.
Yeah, but for me, like previously, because we train in the morning, so usually I will come for trainings as per normal in the mornings and then report to camp. Sometimes I might report slightly later than the rest of the people.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess that's also like my superiors being understanding.
Okay.
Allow us to, you know, like finish what we have. But I mean, the bottom line is to report back for National Service Duty as well.
You're in Army?
Yeah, Army.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, this one. Madhu has always got a very, very tough and deep thinking questions. Tell me about a time when you face a significant failure or setback in your professional life. How do you handle it and what do you learn from experience?
Professional life, I would think he's talking about football career wise.
Yes.
Yeah, I think for me, I think one of the moments that I can remember very clearly is the year where I was dropped from the SEA Games squad.
Okay.
I think it was 2019 or 2020.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite recent.
Sorry. I think it's 2017 or 18.
Okay.
Yeah, 2017 or 18. I think that was my first year or second year back into the in the SPL after NS.
Was it in KL, the SEA Games?
Yeah, it was in KL.
Yeah.
The one in KL.
2017.
Yes, correct. Yeah, 2017. Yeah. So I think at the point of time was I was being in the 25 man squad or like 23 man squad. Yeah, so they were cutting like a couple of players and sadly I was I think one of the three that was being cut.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember very clearly also because at the point of time, right, I was already, you know, when you go for SEA Games, right, they will actually send you to go and do like a tailor-made the national team.
Yeah.
It's not the national team, but it's like to represent like Team Singapore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I already did up like my suit, everything. And I think it was like 3 days before departure.
Mm.
Yeah. So 3 days before departure, you know, I had pretty high hopes of like, you know, representing the nation in the SEA Games. One of the more prominent tournaments, right?
Yeah.
And I remember very clearly, you know, I was dropped. I remember I was at the, you know, the old open car park behind 3M3 Somerset.
I think now there's no longer there.
I remember I was in the car and then the news of the squad was broken down to us. Well, at the moment I was like, damn. heartbroken, man. Like, because I think I expected to be in the squad also, you know, really had hopes for myself as well, you know, to represent the country for that specific tournament. Yeah, and I remember very clearly also because, so the suit that I was talking about, right, I remember I had to pass it to Amirul Imran.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Amirul Imran, I think he didn't do the suit at the point of time.
Yeah.
He was one of the players. I think they only sent maybe about three-quarter of the squad.
Okay.
And I would think that, you know, at the point
because
of time, when I need the suit, the suit was like finalized.
Okay.
So I guess emotionally also, I already tuned that, hey, you know, I'm going for this tournament as well. Yeah, so at the point of time, you know, to be dropped from that squad was quite painful. I would say, I would use the word painful for myself. Yeah, but I'm glad that, you know, at the point of time, you know, I was in Geelang, you know, when I went back to training with Geelang, because at the point of time, we took a break from the S6 squad.
Yeah.
We went to train with the other 23s.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the point of time, when I went back to like the Geelang squad, I was very lucky. I think there were a lot of, like, you know, positive encouragement, you know, from the senior players at that point of time, and also like from coaches. Yeah. So I think shortly after, you know, I got my national team caught after that. Maybe about a couple of months after that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that call also helped me to, you know, get over that episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe if like I didn't, you know, get a call or what, maybe I was just, you know, still have the lingering painful feeling of being dropped from that.
Were
spot.
You ever ex- was yeah. it ever explained to you why you were dropped?
No. I guess it's also a mystery.
No closure,
it's a mystery that I will take away from me.
You want to shout out anyone that helped you in this process to get over this grief?
I will get over it.
That point of time when you got over it. You want to shout out to anyone that helped you in that process to get over it? You mentioned the Geelang coach and players.
I think at the point of time because I was with Geelang as well.
So the
players, the 2017 players and everything. I think at the point of time, I think they really helped me to, you know, get over this whole
those players that have more experience.
But at the point of time, 2017, experienced players. I had players like, you know, like Stanley was with me, Issa was with me, and Noah Azli, I think. And at the point of time, the coach was Coach Ali. So that squad was really quite strong in terms of like the seniority. There was a lot of senior players that played in the league for so long, and had like, you know, very 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 good record across the season as well, like across their career.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So next, moving on, Lingesh. On the side, also Darren, good on those free kicks. If I'm not wrong, 2 goals, assists from your free kicks, right?
Yeah, I guess luck.
You practice this often in the training
ground? Sometimes during training ground, you know, like after training, you know, just put like a couple of balls. We just cross mainly to Madhu. Madhu will show us his finishing abilities. So that's just some of the things that, But credits to Madhu and Fabian, both my center backs. For
staying back to
for meeting my ball.
Daniel Go saying Madhu back with those questions. And Madhu has got a very witty reply to you. Thanks for taking 10 minutes to answer my question.
I have to because I think the length of his question also, I think he maybe spent about 10 minutes.
He has to go into details because you know, not many people would have known this. Okay, Lingesh, the long question. Darren, don't feel that I'm patronizing you and our team, but as SPL player, I feel like what Madhu has mentioned before, you are, I safely assume and hopefully not in the face of departing from regular playing and planning for the future, do you see you being in Singapore football by carrying on with contributing other ways besides playing?
I think he's talking about after football.
Yeah, after football, right? Your career. Yeah. What, do you have already made plans?
Yeah, I mean, I already made plans. I think most people would have also known. I'm doing like financial advising. I think for myself, of course, I'd love to like contribute back to the football and stuff like that. But I don't really see myself as a coach.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I don't like. I'll probably be one of the players that, you know, don't really enjoy
coaching.
Coaching as an alternative. So I guess I wouldn't also like want to force myself to, you know, do something that I don't like.
Yeah. I understand that.
So I guess But of course, I'm not striking off the possibility of, you know, giving back to the community in terms of like football. You know, I'll be like more than happy to also like, you know, to, like give some like, you know,
advice.
Wouldn't say like advice or maybe like, you know, like coaching and stuff. Like, yeah, but not as a career.
Okay.
After playing career. Okay. Yeah, because I really enjoy the sport.
Maybe like a grassroots coach.
Yeah, maybe possibly. Yeah, because I know very clearly that I enjoy the sport as a player, as an athlete.
Yeah.
But I don't see myself as a coach. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about like an administrator or maybe player agent, something like that?
I think right now, I think to be very transparent, no. I just really enjoy playing the sport as a player.
Maybe things might change in the future, you never know.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Not gonna write off anything as well.
Correct, yeah. So my question to you is, what advice do you have for young players who want to take up football as a professional career?
Well, I think it's...
Because it's going to be a...
At this time, it's
a bit of a grim period for Singapore football.
Yeah, great. I think it's going to be a very painful, you know, tough journey. Yeah. But it's definitely not a bad idea, I think, to want to be a professional footballer.
Mm.
Especially like what you mentioned, now that we're going through like tough times in terms of like achieving results for age group and as a whole. But you can see like, you know, there's a lot of like implementations, a lot of campaigns, a lot of things coming up, like Unleash the Raw, everything.
Yeah.
Things that probably I didn't have back then. Yeah, sometimes also like quite envious of these boys, because you see some of the boys, they're just sent to like Spain, Germany, or somewhere in Europe, for like quite a long
period,
right? Yeah, just to be able to have like more exposure, and there's like, you know, like scholarships, I think maybe like, you know, some other programs that are implementing. So I guess on the bright side also, with all these programs and stuff like that coming up, I think it's not really a bad idea. So. Yeah, and I think there is like some academies also like coming out and really like wanting to help to improve the entire situation. I think it's really something that is viable as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything you want to point out that they should look out for, and you know, maybe possible pitfalls that they might face as a professional footballer? They might think, okay, they never thought of this. They thought, okay, you know, being a professional footballer is good. I get paid to do what I love doing. Come for training, after training, I go home.
Yeah, I think firstly for young players, I think they have to understand that, you know, not to have the kind of mentality that, you know, it's very good to like, you know, just be paid, come here, play football. Yeah, I think I would say that, you know, like some older players like us, we went through shitloads of hard work to get to where we are right now. So for like the younger ones, maybe like 18 to 20, that kind of thing, if they have that kind of mindset right now, I think it's really challenging for them to even make that step up. Yeah, because I think end of the day, I mean, the same, I think only when you reach that height, then you probably will enjoy the full benefits of it.
Yeah, certainly. And also stuff like, you know, whatever... This mentality thing also is also the other aspect of it, is preparing for life after football, because it's not a very long career, right? So when you're young, I think they should take every opportunity and all the time they get to, you know, better acquit themselves that when they finish playing, they have something to fall back on.
Yeah, definitely. I think for myself, what I want to tell, like, probably the young audience or whatever, I will still stand by, like, what I value in terms of being able to pursue your dreams. Yeah, I think, of course, there might be, you know, people out there who thinks that, you know, dreams will not bring you anything, in terms of, like, food on the table or whatsoever, you know, like, that's the harsh reality that people might be talking about.
Yeah.
But for myself, I still stand by the value of, you know, like, pursuing your dreams. I'm lucky, you know, I'm able to, like, you know, pursue my dreams, enjoy what I'm doing right now as a professional footballer. Something that I might not even, like, think about it, like, 10 or 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just very fortunate to be able to do what I'm doing right now. But I just want to let them know that it's not an easy journey, for sure. You know, there's a lot of hard work. Just plenty of hard work to be done.
All right, yeah. Daniel Go is saying, next time my kids, I want them to follow Darren's footsteps. Wow.
Yeah, wait till you have kids first. then we have this conversation again.
Yeah. Also, yourself, you're a father. Same kind of advice you give to your child?
Yeah, I think for myself, as a dad, I think I'm very clear in terms of, like, what I want for him.
Yeah.
Not in terms of, like, I want to force him to be a footballer, but clear in the sense where, you know, I'm gonna let him try out as many things as possible. Any opportunities, doesn't have to be football. Yeah. And
anything
then I'll see what he likes, what interests him and everything. And then I think as a dad, very important to give them the 100% kind of
support.
Yeah, because I was also very lucky when I was younger. My parents are very supportive of me, of pursuing this. I would say not very
conventional.
Conventional kind of career. Yeah, but I was very lucky that my parents were there supporting me and brought me to where I am today as a footballer.
So
that would be the same thing that you know, I want to replicate on my own kid as well.
Lingesh is asking, so sorry bothering with so many questions, but recently in SPL social media arena, there's been a call out for our majority race to be engaged to play football. This is debatable, but do you think for that to happen, the current Chinese players have to converse this too by being an example? Don't need to answer if you are uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, just will give my 2 cents. Just some opinions. I think to me, it doesn't really matter in terms of race. If you are good enough, you deserve that spot, then you deserve to be there. So I don't think it has anything to do with race, because I think in Singapore it's a multiracial country, right? We have so many different kind of race. Then that's just my opinion. I think if you're good enough, I don't think it matters what kind of race, you know, and where background you have and everything.
Looking ahead now to the next match, playing Tanjung Pagar United next. I just want to know as well, for you as a fullback, do you look at videos of your opposing winger during the week and see, okay, where his weaknesses might be, or does the coaching staff, you know, point out their weaknesses to you?
Yeah, I think like for us on a personal level, I think we do like watch other SPL games. Yeah, so while we are watching, also we pay more attention in terms of like who are the possible opponents that we might face on our upcoming games.
I
wouldn't be very, like, you know, purposeful, like, you know, hey, I'm gonna watch like this player or like this team, that kind of thing. But I think because the industry is small as well, not as huge as, you know, so more or less some of the players, you already played them a couple of times, and you probably know what you will be expecting. So I think it's more of like mentally prepping yourself throughout the week in terms of who are the possible opponents that you might face for the upcoming games. So I think it's like in the training ground, we try to picture what opponents will do, and then be ready for it. So I think it's more of a mental kind of preparation. Yeah, in terms of like, or instead of like, you know, just watching, like see, you know, what they have, like what they can do, yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. We've already played them once. It was also another topsy-turvy game.
Yeah.
We won at Jurong East Stadium. Now you're playing them at home. Feeling confident?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest steps is to be confident, right? Yeah, yeah, going to the game. I think you know, we after the LCS game, even though we lost, I think we really put up a good fight, good show against a team full of individual quality. Yeah, so I think that's also one of the positive that we can also take away from leading up to the Tanjung Pagar game as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to you. Anyways, for those Balestier fans, Balestier is going to play against Tanjung Pagar United on Sunday. What time is kickoff? 6?
Yeah, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Yeah, okay. At Bishan Stadium. So catch them there at Bishan Stadium. And if you can't catch them there, if you're overseas like Lingesh, you're probably going to watch it on YouTube. It's free on YouTube anyway. So come down to support Balestier Khalsa. Give your support to your local boys. So just some questions to end the show, some light-hearted questions about your teammates.
Okay.
The first question, who is the best dressed amongst your teammates?
Best dressed, I would say our Captain Marvel.
Hawaii. And you just recently got married.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations to Hawaii.
Yeah. So best dressed, I would say Hawaii.
Worst dressed?
Worst dress have to be, sorry, but I have to be very truthful, right?
Yeah.
I think the worst dress have to be Emrick.
Emrick?
Yeah, Emrick. Because he still comes training with like his polytechnic t-shirts or okay. Sometimes. Yeah, and he's just always in sports attire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But he's good in some other ways. Right?
I'm surprised. Yeah. Emrick. Okay. Your best mate in the club, best friend?
Oh, there's a few lah. Okay. Not gonna just mention. Yeah, I think the few senior players that we are more close with around, you know, go for meals and everything lah. Mm. Just shout out maybe to like Manu, Iggy, and even like Daniel. Yeah, but in fact we are actually really very close lah. Even with the foreigners as well. Yeah, we go for like breakfast and everything together lah. So I wouldn't say that's like the best mate.
Okay. Like, but overall in football, do you have a best friend? Like, from maybe when you started off your career with, really close with this player.
Couple of them lah that I'm really close to lah. I wouldn't say that I have a best mate that, you know, like I can only tell him like certain things that I cannot like, you know, share with other people. Yeah. So a couple of them lah, and I guess they also know who they are lah.
Yeah, but
so,
we don't know.
Yeah, I think some of the best mates that I have currently, like maybe like Stanley, you know, my time in Geelang with him. Mm. Yeah, and then like also like Amy, Christopher, my cousin, Omar, and like Zaino. Yeah, some of my ex mates who still have a very strong like little friendship together with. Mm. Yeah, we still hang out. Quite often as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. The prankster in the team.
Prankster have to be Daniel Goh for sure. 100%.
I was hoping to get a different answer. No. Anyone that you feel is like, he's a prankster but nobody really knows. Everyone knows Daniel Goh is this character. He's either funny, he's a prankster, but anyone that you know you feel is underrated as a prankster.
As a team. Prankster? Iggy. Probably Iggy as well.
Because he always has a bit of serious wine.
Yeah, I think Iggy also, he's just at the element where, you know, like when he speak, people just laugh. Okay. Yeah, because like certain jokes that he makes and everything, just an element in him. Yeah, you know, like somebody, some people just have the element where they talk.
Yeah.
And everything that they say, it's funny. Yeah, Wailun is his number one supporter.
Okay.
Yeah, Wailun will be always be the first to laugh at all Iggy jokes and everything. Yeah.
Okay. So if there's a stand-up comedy and Iggy is there, Wailun will be in the front seat.
For sure, 100%. Yeah, for every show. So, yeah, I think Wailun will buy the VIP ticket to Iggy's show.
Okay. Yeah. That's quite an alternative career for Iggy. Yeah. the quietest player in the team, or the most serious one when you feel the most
serious.
One of quietest lah. Either one.
Quietest. This is quite a tough question because I think most of us we are pretty close. Yeah, so we definitely have like chats on and off the pitch. Mm. Yeah, not just to one or two players. I think a lot of us we communicate to each and every one of us. Mm. Yeah, so if you ask me quietest, maybe probably like some of the younger ones.
Yeah, I think so also, right? Because they probably be shy. Ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then with all the senior players, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
If they're afraid to say something wrong, if I get. But I mean, I think that doesn't really happen in this generation.
Yeah.
Because we're more open to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, before I ask you let me ask you the last one. The wise one in the team.
Wise one?
Yeah.
I would say wise one also probably comes with age as well. So I think Madu, M and Fabian.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty wise lah. Yeah. But I'm not sure what kind of wise you're talking about.
No, like really, you know, like good gives good advice and all
this. In terms of like football or like just
no, general
life. General
in life.
Yeah. General in life, I think probably like M lah. Yeah, MMM has quite a bit of knowledge. Yeah, he will always like know, for example, like share like some of the like financial news. You know, tell us which credit card has like the best offers. You know, in terms of like miles or whatever. Okay. Like, yeah. So if you talk about wise in terms of knowledge, I would say M as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Football wise, maybe Madu.
Okay.
Yeah, Madu is the one that
a lot of experience. Lingesh, saying. Thanks for taking the time to answer my questions. Really wish all the best for your future. Remember, I'm watching every match as I can. Thanks and my thanks to the team.
Yeah, equally thankful as well. Yeah, to have a fan like him who really stand by the team despite whether it's a win or losers or whatsoever. Yeah.
Wydon's asking you, what do you do in your off days?
Just shoot. Yeah, off day. My off days are mostly spent with the person that also asked me the question. Yeah, so he will know what how we chew and everything. Yeah.
And he's asking you, what's your game day routine? I think you've met him before.
Yeah, game day routine. Yeah, just mentioned just really.
I think Wailun's late to the show.
Yeah.
You missed that part, Wailun.
Yeah.
He's already mentioned what his game day routine is. Okay, last words for the fans.
Like what I said earlier, really appreciate like the support that people are coming down for our games and can see also there are actually more
the numbers
people,
are growing,
yeah,
right?
Numbers
yeah.
are growing and everything. And I think this has a lot to do with the belief of the team, saying these people come down for our games, whether rain or shine. I think it brings a lot of belief, a lot of motivation. A lot of support to our team. So I definitely hope and will encourage people who haven't been to our games to come down and watch our games. We will definitely want to put on a show. Yeah, not the 5-4 kind of show anymore. hopefully
5-0 to us.
Hopefully we can be really consistent in all our games moving up towards the end of the season. I think right now we are in a pretty good spot as compared to last season as well. Yeah, so I would say that every support that we get from anyone will be very important for us moving forward towards the end of the season as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael is back to say, okay, see you. Zah Saleh says, let's go.
Let's go.
And Lingesh is not done. He's got another question. How do you find podcasts like this helps you, and do you follow podcasts?
I think podcasts like this also give like a better idea in terms of what our daily lives is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably like to some people, especially in Singapore, I think one of the biggest stigma that comes towards this industry is that people doesn't know what we do.
Yeah.
How we are as like footballers and everything. Yeah. So I think this doesn't really apply in terms of like just to people who watches our game or everything. Yeah, I really hope that, you know, this podcast, this effort by you, you know, to have all these podcasts will open up the industry to people who don't know about us, yeah, rather than already have been following us. Yeah, yeah. So I guess that's the ultimate aim that, you know, every podcast wants as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't really follow any podcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think maybe like, you know, certain days, you know, where I see like some of the
clean
podcasts, yeah, or whatsoever, you know, while driving, I'll just listen to like certain podcasts. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So it's a wrap here. It's Raz signing off. Ciao.
Bye.